Hey, I'm Anderson Cooper. Welcome to the podcast. Shock giving way to horrifying realities. The Flight 17 crash site goes neglected in a war zone, along with the lives of 298 people lost on it. Let's get started. Shock is giving way to horrifying reality tonight. It's a reality that even shrouded in darkness breaks your heart as the notion of how this came to be turns your stomach. That's a large piece of what was the Malaysia Airlines 777 Flight 17. Inside the wreckage, the remains of a life. Human remains are everywhere. White ribbons mark the place where they came to rest after a missile blew their plane from the sky. They lie in a war zone, and tonight, because of that fact, more than a day after the fact, they lie there still. Another horrifying reality. So is the reality that a weapon of war brought down a civilian jet, and due to that, America's already tense relationship with its former Cold War adversary is getting tenser yet still. The chill is growing. And the rhetoric is heating up as new facts emerge in the investigation. We're going to cover all the angles tonight.
Final stages of our boarding and cargo loading.
Images from inside Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 before takeoff yesterday as the 298 passengers and crew prepare for their 11-hour journey to Kuala Lumpur. The consensus, a surface-to-air missile from eastern Ukraine downed the commercial jet. Who's responsible for the act is still unknown. But take a look at this video released by the Ukrainian government. It looks to show a Buk missile system, the same kind believed to have shot down the plane, driving through pro-Russian territory in Ukraine, heading towards Russia. Look closely. Notice one missile missing. The video said to have been taken just after the plane was shot down. A senior defense official tells CNN the working theory is that Russia provided pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine with the anti-aircraft missile system that took down the jet. President Obama declined to place direct blame on any one party, but had strong words for his Russian counterpart.
The violence that's taking place there is facilitated in part, in large part, because of Russian support. And they have the ability to move those separatists in a different direction. If Mr. Putin makes a decision that we are not going to allow heavy armaments the flow of fighters into Ukraine, across the Ukrainian-Russian border, then it will stop.
The Ukrainian government continues to blame both Russia and separatists for the incident, calling it an act of terrorism, and releasing audio recordings intercepted, they say, from rebels talking about taking down an aircraft just after the plane crashed. At the crash site, pieces of white cloth dot the landscape, marking the spots where the victims fell. Witnesses describe the terrible moment when the plane and everything in it fell to earth. There was a very strong plane rumble, then there was a sort of explosion or flap, and then people started falling from the sky, this man says. People were appearing right from the clouds, and the plane's fuselage appeared and landed there, 50 meters away from here. Complicating the situation where the crash occurred, the territory in eastern Ukraine controlled by pro-Russian rebels, making it difficult to access the site and preserve the evidence. Reporters have already observed looting by locals. And 30 monitors from the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe were only allowed to view about 200 yards of a debris field, estimated to be 6 square miles.
It basically looks like one of the biggest, or the biggest crime scene in the world right now, guarded by a bunch of guys in uniform with heavy firepower who are quite inhospitable.
More troubling, the whereabouts of the plane's flight recorders or black boxes are unknown. Following rumors that they'd been taken to Russia, a Ukrainian official told CNN they're in Ukraine, though he seemed unable to say where. One of many claims and counterclaims complicating a crime and a tragedy is growing larger by the day.